go back to the budget because the Chancellor, Philip Hammond, is insisting he'll prove the grim economic forecasts released in his budget wrong. We've been talking in the last 5 minutes or so about two reports that have delivered stark warnings about falling living standards. So what does this budget mean for ordinary households? Let's speak to Fran Boat, Executive Director of Positive Money, an organisation who campaign for a sustainable and democratic economy. Fran, good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's a great pleasure. It's always a tough one, isn't it? But 24 hours after a budget, I suppose we have more of a sense of what it will mean. How do you think this budget is going to play for ordinary households?
Well, for ordinary households, I think, unfortunately, it is more of the same. There are some tweaks and gimmicks, but fundamentally, it doesn't address the really fundamental problems with our economy, which are resulting in the falling wages, the falling living standards you just mentioned in the intro. We have in the UK an economy that essentially run on households having to get into more debt because to make ends meet, and on asset price inflation. And if we look at actually the policies that the Chancellor announced yesterday, none of them are really about taking the economy in a positive direction. And they're actually not really about making people better off on their day-to-day lives. So it was pretty disappointing. And it was most disappointing because he was kind of doubling down on austerity, this fixation on the government, wanting a government budget surplus, which at this time it is, many economists have criticised the Chancellor and the government for this agenda, and it really needs to be stopped. So more of the same, very disappointing, and people aren't going to be seeing much of a change.
Well, you say it's time for austerity to be stopped. If the figures that have been released by the Office for Budget Responsibility, crunched by the two economic think tanks I just referred to, and even the Chancellor is admitting that growth forecasts are having to be managed down, and we're now down at the bottom of the OECD list of countries. If that doesn't stacked up, rather imply austerity has failed, what will?
Well, exactly. I mean, we're now realising that the slogans of the Tory government since 2010 are just completely empty. Their long-term economic plan. There is no plan. And that is shown in the budget we saw yesterday. And it feels it's very ideological. They don't want to scrap the public sector pay cap because they've been saying it's necessary for the last 7 years. And it's all, everyone's starting to wake up to realise that actually this was never a policy that made sense after a massive economic crash. Fundamentally, it was a failure to reform the financial sector 10 years ago when the crash started, which turned into this discourse around austerity, which has been allowed to play out. But really, the deep cuts are starting to, things are really not good for the UK economy, and people are realising that austerity was a failed project, and if they continue down this path, things are only going to get worse for ordinary working people.
For many people, especially in this part of the country, in and around London, housing is the number one issue. Should the policies announced yesterday on housing, such as the cut in stamp duty for first-time buyers, the extension of right to buy, shouldn't they be welcomed?
So again, this is one of their kind of gimmicks. Understandably, the Chancellor and government want to try and get more young people on the housing ladder. But fundamentally, the result of yesterday's stamp duty cut will be most people buying but already own properties, property speculation. So they're trying to keep the housing bubble inflated. But all that does is push rents out of reach and increases house prices. We're in a situation where our housing system is completely broken. I come from Gloucester, and there over 4,500 people are on the waiting list for social housing, and people are being housed in unfit B&Bs. They're being asked to travel from Bristol. They are being rehoused in Bristol. And the situation is just as bad in London. This really isn't good enough. And actually, it's more of the same. It's going down that same line of policies which will inflate housing market. And actually, we're at a point where this is actually creating quite a lot of intergenerational tension. People, the assets rich are benefiting from these stamp duty cut and pushing up house prices, which is predicted to be by 0.5%. And people just can't afford that. The knock-on effect that has to rising rents, the failure to address social housing and the rise in homelessness just shows, you know, bigger things needed to be said yesterday that weren't. And this is more of the same, which is essentially going to help the rich get richer.
Looking at the deficit targets, why does the government keep missing the targets it sets itself? And why is borrowing still increasing?
Well, again, this is because of failure of economic thinking. The ideology behind the austerity is that you need to cut government debt in order to stimulate the economy, which doesn't make any sense. And so, you know, by cutting government spending, trying to fixate on the deficit, keeping public sector pay low, they've actually resulted in a spiraling down of the economy because there is a lack of demand. And at the same time, we've had policies by the Bank of England, which has created a load of money. But instead of that money being put into the economy to boost the demand, it's been put into financial markets to boost asset prices. So actually, people are struggling more. So people are having to rely on going to the government. The government are having less tax income because the economy is doing worse. And so they have to borrow more to make up for that. So it really is nonsensical, and you know, it's an economic consensus. The mainstream has shifted from where it was 7 years ago, where mainstream economists were in favour of austerity. Now they're not, and they're saying, actually, we got it wrong, and we need to have a different approach. People are really suffering from these damaging ideological policies. And, you know, if the Tories keep going on in this direction, they're going to put themselves out of government, I think, in a few years, because especially with Brexit at the same time, they just can't afford to keep going on the route they are.
Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell was speaking in the House today on a topic that he's been talking about a lot over recent months, borrowing to spend. A lot of people are still wary about that policy as an idea. I know you say that many mainstream economists are now coming around to that idea, but just explain to us, and to anybody listening, where does money come from to increase spending?
Great question. So that's positive money's focus. And there are basically two ways that money's created, or two magic money trees, if you like. The vast majority of money is created through bank lending. When you or I go out to take a loan, a bank creates an asset and a liability, and that essentially is most of the money we use is debt to banks. The other way is through central banks. We've seen since the crash, one of the ways of stimulating the economy is quantitative easing, where the Bank of England creates money. It created £445 billion, and that is a huge amount of money. And with that, that has gone into asset price inflation, basically financial markets. So there are actually three ways that government can get money. It can take in taxes, obviously. It can borrow money from financial markets. And at the moment, it's very safe to borrow because interest rates are at an all-time low. So the amount that the government will be paying on interest is pretty low. So we can afford to borrow to invest, and that will boost the economy and increase our tax revenue. So that's a good plan. But we can also do something called monetary financing, which is what Positive Money advocates, which is where the central bank, the Bank of England, would create money just like it did with QE. But that could be used for investment or for government spending. And that's another source. You know, most of us don't have a central bank in our backyard. The government does, and it can utilise that function. So we're really not out of options. You know, there's a myth that the government is like a household budget. It's just completely untrue. You know, nation states exist, money exists because we have government. So if they can't boost the economy in time of recession, in times of low economic activity, you know, then it kind of, the economy is the rules that we make up. So it's kind of absurd that they can't utilise their access to finance to boost the economy.
But by the sound of what you're saying, you don't see this happening unless there's a change of government, because I suppose it would be, in effect, rowing back on the arguments that the current government have been making for the last 7 years.
Absolutely. I think there has to be. I mean, you know, we obviously talk to politicians from all members of political parties, and there are some very critical conservatives of the finance sector and the fact that we have such an overemphasis on asset price inflation and financial markets in the UK. But fundamentally, they're not willing enough to challenge the economic thinking, and they're not willing to go against the ideology, which seems to be we need to shrink the state, we need to shrink government spending. And that's really going to lead our economy into the ground. And so, you know, I think we are in a stage where there's a, you know, 10 years ago, people would say there's not much to pick between all the political parties. Now I think we can see there's an actual massive, vast ocean between the main political parties in this country. And the Conservatives are just kind of digging in, and it doesn't seem that they're willing to really admit a change of thinking is needed on the economy if we're not going to run the UK's economy into the ground, and a lot of people are going to suffer. So I do think a change of government is needed.
Fran, good to talk to you. Thank you very much. It's BBC Radio London talking to Fran Boyt, Executive Director of Positive Money, an organisation who campaign for a sustainable and democratic economy. I'd be interested in your thoughts on that. Are you somebody who perhaps has believed the mantra that austerity is necessary for the country,